Leonard Cohen was a Canadian poet and songwriter. His songs focus on life, love, religion, sex, politics, and isolation. He had a very long career, and a couple of years before his death, he did a world tour, and we were lucky enough to see him in Manchester. He was raised as an observant Jew, and he practiced his faith all his life, but was also interested in other religions. He spent 5 years in a Buddhist monastery and was ordained as a Buddhist monk, but saw no conflict between that and the practice of his Judaism. He was also very struck by the person of Jesus, and this comes out in some of his songs. He said he was very fond of Jesus Christ, and that he was a very compassionate, almost mad person because his message, which couldn't be resisted. His most famous song is probably Alleluia. It wasn't that much of a hit when it was first released, but was covered by other singers, and in Britain became very popular when Alexandra Burke sang it to win the X Factor competition in 2008, introducing it to a whole new generation. The song is an interesting conundrum. We like it, we think it's a happy song because of our association with the word Alleluia as meaning praise God, and with all our hymns with the word Alleluia in it are joyful, the ones we sing at Easter. The word is, in the Old Testament, a command to praise God. And I think Cohen uses it as a command to praise God even in troubling circumstances. The words of Alleluia continue from the theme of David and Bathsheba in last week's service, but mix up images of David playing the secret chord that both pleased the Lord and calmed Saul in his mental instability. Cohen names David as the baffled king, who in the lyrics seems to have been undone by Bathsheba. He also mixes in images of Samson and Delilah, showing his intimate knowledge of the Bible. Does get a tad confusing. It could be read as Bathsheba seducing David, which, as you know, isn't what I think happened. He does, however, muse that she broke his throne. Certainly after his seduction or his rape of Bathsheba and his murder of her husband, David lost the respect of the religious establishment. And after Solomon's death, the kingdom of Israel broke in two. Cohen's life and loves were not what one would expect from an Orthodox Jew. It's fair to say he loved the ladies. In the song, Cohen answers some critics who think he's taken the Lord's name in vain. You say I took the name in vain. I don't even know the name. But if I did, well, really, what's it to you? There's a blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter what you've heard. The holy or the broken Alleluia. Jews don't speak the name of God. It's written in the Bible, like this on the screen, in English, YHWH. You cannot pronounce YHWH, believe me, because you need vowels. And one way to stop the word being pronounced was to leave the vowels out. This meant that an earlier generation of interpreters thought it might be Jehovah. If you change the Y to a J, they're often changed. And in our first hymn, the word Jehovah was used. If you come to the film Monty Python's Life of Brian, there's quite a funny scene in where someone is being punished for saying the name of God. I won't tell you what happens because it will spoil the film. Most English versions of the Bible, when they get to YHWH, simply put the Lord. In Jewish versions of the Bible, they use the word Adonai, which means the same, the Lord. An observant Jew would never say the name of the Lord and get troubled that Christians do. So Cohen in this verse answers his critics by saying he doesn't know the name. It is, after all, something of a mystery. But he sees a blaze of God's inspiration in every word he writes. And then has that intriguing line about it doesn't matter if we heard the holy or the broken Alleluia. And this idea of holy and broken alleluias is, for me, the key to the song and the long psalm that Donald read to us. Don't worry, I've not forgotten the reading. Everything we know about King David seems to me, at least, to indicate brokenness. Plucked from obscurity, he fells the Philistine giant Goliath, is taken into the king's service and calms Saul's moods with his music. He inveigles his way into the royal family with a close relationship with Jonathan, the crown prince, which makes Saul very angry, so he's married off to Saul's younger daughter, Michal. The marriage doesn't seem happy. David is anointed secretly as king by Samuel, who interferes in politics, and David wages a civil war against Saul, even taking refuge with the hated Philistines. After Saul and Jonathan are killed in battle, David seizes the throne. He sees Bathsheba, rapes her, gets her pregnant, and then has her husband killed and marries her. This is a broken man who breaks others. But, and it's a huge but, David is also anointed by God and sees himself as a devout follower of the Lord. He repents of his murder and rape when the prophet Nathan confronts him, and eventually Bathsheba's son Solomon ascends the throne. Many of the Psalms are said to be written by David. This is a holy man, a man whose holiness and poetry inspires others. Cohen, it seems to me, is also both a broken and a holy man. The character of David provided him with a way to explore his own relationship with God. The last verse of the song seems to be a very fitting epitaph for Cohen, and maybe for us. As I said, if I end up having this on my tombstone, I wouldn't mind. I did my best, it wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I've told the truth, I didn't come to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah. Cohen could be writing about David or about himself or perhaps any of us. In his brokenness, he recognizes his failure, but at one and the same time, he knows he'll stand before God praising him. Our psalm is famous because of the opening lines. Thought to be written by David, we see a cry of despair coupled with words of praise. We know the opening words of the psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because we read them in Holy Week, as they're the last words of Jesus on the cross. A cry of despair, or echoes of praise and despair fighting together. It seems to me that we all live lives of holy and broken alleluias. We all have ups and downs in life, illness, aging, loneliness, are things common to us all. Many of us know what it is to battle with depression, bereavement, disappointment, and pain. Many of us are all too aware of our own brokenness, our own struggles with what we know is wrong, yet we still seek to praise God. Like David of old, we know our brokenness. We know the troubles in life that plague us, but at the same time, we know we're commanded to praise God, not just in the good, but in the bad times. So we too come to God with our holy and our broken alleluias. God, it seems to me, uses all types of people, even us. If God could use the scheming, manipulative, murdering rapist that was King David, then there's hope for you and me. If David, despite his past and despite the pain in his life, later in the story, another son, Absalom, rebels against him, tries to oust him from the throne, and rapes his concubines. Despite all that, David still seeks to praise God. Sometimes we think we could only praise God, only come to church when we're happy, when we feel like it. One of the points of Cohen's song is that we praise God in all things, an idea informed by his close reading and knowledge of the Bible. Alleluia is a command to praise God, not just an expression of joy. Finally, it seems from Cohen's life, from David's millennia before him, and from our own lives, that faith doesn't insulate us from life's problems. Sometimes people think that if they're good Christians, God will stop bad things happening to us. Now, of course, I hope that nothing bad happens to any of us, but life doesn't seem to be like that. We have to deal with the pain and the disappointments and the problems of life. Faith doesn't make any of that go away, but it does give us the resources to cope. We will struggle like everyone else, but our faith in God gives us a strength, a different perspective, and the power to endure until better times come. The key, as in Cohen's psalm-like song and in Psalm 22, is to offer our praises even when things are awful. To offer our praises even when we don't feel like doing it. Mother Teresa is now known to have gone through a profound period of doubts and darkness. What got her through was acting as if she believed, because in doing so, the faith came back. Sometimes it's like we're being tested, asked to rely on God more completely than we're comfortable with, so that at the end, we come before him with our holy and our broken alleluias on our lips. Will you pray with me? Lord our God, we often act as if we don't know your name, don't praise you as we should, and forget all we know. At other times we do our best, but realize it isn't always much. We don't want to fool you or ourselves, but we hope that at the end we stand before you, the Lord of Song, with our holy and our broken alleluias on our lips. Amen.